There's a cold call opening that I've been using now for the better part of 10 years. And the best part is that it's dramatically reduced the amount of objections that I was getting. But at the same time, it's also dramatically increased the amount of demos that I've been able to book. On this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, I'm going to share all the juicy details with you. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 40,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our Sales Camp program. I'm going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast, but if you'd like to check it out now, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp. So let me tell you all about the inspiration behind this week's podcast. There was an interesting post that I read over on LinkedIn, and I've actually read a lot of posts just like this one I'm going to share with you lately, and they were talking about the opening of a cold call. Now, before I kind of get into what they were doing and then share with you how I've been attacking it, I think we all need to acknowledge that the first few seconds of a cold call can really make the difference between pass or fail, and certainly between this being warm versus cold. So the post that I'm referring to, that I read over in LinkedIn, they were talking about how they'll use humor or they'll use something cute to open up the cold call, and that works. And by the way, I'm an advocate of that. And they were also talking about, like, their approach was just very, very simple. And they were saying, you know, just basically acknowledge that it is, in fact, a cold call. And yeah, I totally agree with that. And I actually want to go ahead and tell you, keep that one in your back pocket. Keep that one in the arsenal. But I'm not really going to agree that that's your highest value that you can put forth in those, what, critical 8 seconds of the call opening. I really think that there's something even better that you can do. And also, too, what's really cool about this approach, I mean, kind of, if I do say so myself, I don't want to sound like, man, this guy's really arrogant, right? He thinks his approach is the shit. And the thing that I want to say about it is that this is also a really simple approach that you can do. All right, so before we continue, I want to just make one last point. What I'm going to propose right now is not necessarily the thing that's going to replace maybe what you're doing or when you read something good on LinkedIn or whatever. What I'm here to tell you is that, you know, when you call a business, chances are you're going to be calling them several times and you're going to have several conversations over the next minimum few weeks, few months, few years. So you're going to need to have different things in the arsenal. So I want you to think of this along the lines of something that you can use in addition to other approaches. In fact, if you use multiple approaches and different flavors every time you call and email and do any other kind of outreach, you're actually keeping it interesting for the other party. I mean, we always look at this, or at least the way that we talk about it here, is that it's really a courtship. And we don't want to have the same shitty date with the same shitty conversation, right? We've got to change it up. We got to keep it interesting. So this really just has a couple of really simple steps. The very first one, if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that I'm a huge advocate of not only doing your homework before you pick up the phone, but there's a very specific type of homework. You see, everybody knows that they're supposed to research. Not everybody does it, by the way, but we all know it. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, I can't imagine anyone's listening to this right now and says, oh, shit, I didn't know. Really? I'm supposed to, like, know what I'm talking about and know a little something about them? Right? We all know that. We can all say, duh, when we hear that. But a lot of us were never taught what we should be looking for. And that's where this whole concept of a trigger event comes into play. Now, this podcast isn't centered around trigger events. This is going to be centered around an opening to the cold call that's really going to, you know, make it a hell of a lot warmer. It's going to reduce objections. It's going to increase the amount of demos. But you have to do this first step in order to open the call in a more meaningful way. So the very first step when you're doing your research is to look for trigger events. A trigger event is something that's going on in your prospect or even your client's world that would dramatically increase the probability of them needing your solution, right? And there's all kinds of trigger events. And we kind of talked about that a bit on several of the podcasts, but last week, in the last episode, we talked about it. But let me just give you a few examples of trigger events. In fact, one of them is taking, depending on where you are in the world, but certainly here in New York and in the US, is happening as we speak. And it's the return to the workplace, right? The reopening of business. That is a huge trigger event. Anytime there is major legislation that is either being entertained or has passed, that is a trigger event. Companies that are hiring, if somebody's been promoting, earnings, good or bad, relocation, PR news releases. Also, too, we have a lot of companies right now, because of the reopening here in the U.S., that are now starting to do events. Hey, certainly, for us people who are into our music, a lot of concerts are being announced. So that, you know, in a way, like events, I'm not saying necessarily concerts, unless somehow that impacts your ability, right, to sell things. Imagine if you were selling to, you know, Madison Square Garden. Now they're having concerts and events and things like that there, right? That would open things up for you. But I'm talking more on the corporate level. Talking also as far as trigger events, product launches, a new business launch. When a business opens its doors, right, they launch. I mean, I launched my business. We celebrated our 10-year anniversary in, I believe it was March. Now, if you had known me in March of 2011 and you did your homework, that possibly could have been a trigger event for you. Let's just say that one, maybe you sell accounting services. A new business is going to need an accountant, right? I certainly did. So that could be a trigger event. Certainly online reviews, Yelp, TripAdvisor, Google, a change in strategic direction of a company. And there's lots and lots and lots of these trigger events. In fact, and I'm going to be talking about at the end of the podcast, I share over 30 of them in one of the sessions of our sales camp program. So we can certainly talk about that a little bit more during the course. But I think this will at least give you a little bit of a flavor. So step number one is, yeah, you obviously have to do your homework, but just know specifically what you're looking for so you can really focus all your time and resources in finding a trigger event. Because remember, the whole point of a trigger event is to, well, really talk to people that are higher probability prospects, right? That have that higher probability of needing what you sell. And that's going to go very nicely into the opening of your call. So this is how we can change it now. When, again, acknowledging that first 8 seconds of a cold call, a decision is made. And I think there's a lot of decisions, and I really believe some of them are conscious, some of them are subconscious. And I'll tell you what, man, if they've been drinking, it might even be unconscious. Who the hell knows, right? But, I mean, that was a bad attempt at a joke. But seriously, those first few seconds, that's where a lot of cold calls take a bullet. And the reason why they take a bullet is because, generally speaking, the people that are calling are not showing them enough value, enough reason, enough why to continue with that call. And the way that they do that, the way that they show a no value approach is by, after they, you know, they identify themselves, hi Jane, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training. And right away, she knows when I say that, how are you? Right? How's everything? Or whatever. Right away, it's just kind of like cold call, right? It's you're what you're doing here, for those of you, by the way, who caught the fight over the weekend, they call it telegraphing your movements, almost like, I can see that Paul's about to throw a punch at me, right? We're doing everything but announce the freaking punch here. But it's the same thing in sales. We don't want to telegraph our movements. We certainly don't want to go into a typical pattern. And the typical pattern is, hey, Jane, Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, how are you? And then after, let's just say we get past the how are you shit. Okay, now what typically happens is, hey, great to hear. You know, Castain Training Systems is a full service, blah, 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 blah. Right? I'm not saying that everybody uses the phrase full service, which I don't know what the F that even means. Somebody's got to tell me, what does it mean? Especially all you people in the printing industry. What does that mean? Seriously, what does full service mean? It is so cliched and boring and tired. But they generally start the call with the how are you, and then the launch into a pitch thing, where they just do the little quick elevator speech thing, elevator pitch thing, and it's just the same thing. And the problem is, when you're telegraphing your movements like that, and you're falling into the typical pattern, you trigger their typical pattern, which is to get you off the phone. And the way they get you off the phone is by saying, it's kind of like an auto-eject, right? It's just like a knee-jerk reaction. And that's where you get, you're not interested. I'm all set. I'm under contract. I'm crazy busy right now. So what we want to do right out of the gate is break the pattern and show some value. How cool would that be, right? We want to show some value here. So what we're going to do, let's say, we're calling Teresa. And by the way, this tip that I'm about to give you doesn't just work if you're calling Teresa's. I mean, it's been known to work on Denise, Laura, Bob, Bill, Billy Bob, right? It'll work on anybody. I just need to put that out there just in case somebody says, this only work on Teresa's. Now, we've tested it on every conceivable name, including a lot of the newer ones, right? So let's just say I'm calling Teresa. With this new approach, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, hey, Teresa, it's Paul Castain. I'm not even going to say, in this case, from Castain Training Systems. The reason why is because the name of my company has the word training in there. I don't want anybody shutting me down until they have a chance to realize what I can bring to the table. And the problem with her hearing the word training in there is that it might automatically trigger that response. And I don't want to. I don't want any preconceived notions. So, but what I'm going to do is, after I identify myself, I'm going to do a pattern interrupt by using the following phrase. And if you can safely write this down, if you're in the car, don't be a jackass and try to write. Seriously, like pull over the car and let's be safe about this. What I'm going to do, the pattern interrupt is going to be, you ready? Here's the phrase, quick question. That's the phrase. It's really that simple, by the way. There's no catch here. Quick question. So I'm going to say something like this in the first few seconds. Hey, Teresa, it's Paul Castain. Quick question. The reason why this is a pattern interrupt is because it doesn't follow the typical pattern. Hey, Teresa, it's Paul Castain from Castain Training. How you doing today? Right? Or how are you? Or even, you know, hey, Teresa, it's Paul Castain and blah, 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 blah. Right? But what's cool about quick question, gets them off guard. Anytime, and I'd be willing to bet you that this is true. Seriously. Watch what, if you're really into like people watching like I am, not in a creepy way, but like if you were to like walk over to a stranger, even, hey, quick question. watch them. Like, some of them, like, raise their eyebrows almost like, yeah, like, or some of them will say, shoot. Yeah, go ahead, what? Right? It's like, it's just like stimulus response type of shit. It's like, seriously, it works. So what you're doing now is you're taking them out of that typical mode, which is to get you the hell off the phone. Uh-oh, you know, warning, sales rep, let me get him off the phone. To it hit them so quick. Now they're going into answer question mode. Now I'm going to give you another little secret before I give you the final phrase. There's only two phrases that you need to know to kick ass with this approach. It is really that simple. The deal is, right? And I want you to think about this. The person asking the questions in any dialogue is in control of that dialogue. I'm going to say it again. The person asking the questions in the dialogue is generally the person who's controlling the flow of that conversation. And I don't mean that for evil, that we're going to be these manipulative asses when we call up. But within the first, how long did it take me to say, hey, Teresa, it's Paul Castain, quick question. Well, what is that, like 2 seconds or something like that? It's the pattern interrupt. It puts them in answer the person's question mode. It throws them off guard. The guard goes down. Now, this isn't a brawl here where the guard goes down and we want to nail them with, you know, an uppercut or a roundhouse, or shank them. Right? I'm getting carried away, man. You don't want to get me riled here. I'm all ready for a brawl with you guys. What we're doing here is we want them to lower their guard so they can embrace the message. That's the goal here. Right? It's not for evil. It's not so we could zing them or knock them on their ass. It's that we can get them out of that kind of conditioned response mode. And we all know it. Like I said, we're all set, not interested. I'm crazy busy. My favorite is, you got me in the middle of a meeting. Well, why the F did you answer the phone? You always answer the phone to meeting? It's like, anyway, don't get me started on that. So it works in that sense. So now you do the quick question thing. It's pattern interrupt. The guard's down. Now they're ready for the next phrase. And this phrase you cannot use. You are forbidden to use this phrase unless you did the very first step, which is the research, and you found a trigger event. Okay? So if you've done the research, you found the trigger event. After you say, you do your intro, you say, quick question. Now you're going to say, I noticed that. And then you're going to reference the trigger event. So let me say it again, and I'll give you a couple examples. I noticed that, and then you're going to tell them about the trigger event that you noticed. I noticed that your company just announced blank, right? That's trigger event, we said. I noticed that you're reopening your New York City office. That's trigger event. So, again, let me put this together for you. I don't want you to think that there's any more to it than this. I think sometimes, seriously, and you can thank a lot of sales trainers for this, we complicate the shit out of sales. We just so somebody can feel smart, we're going to just set it up in this real elaborate type of infographic. You got to do this, and you should say that, and everything else, instead of just breaking it down, deconstructing this to its simplest form. So here it is, folks. Step number one. Do your homework. Now, again, we're not just making a blanket statement here. Do your research. Do your homework. We're saying that there's a very specific type of thing you're looking for. You're looking for a trigger event. Trigger event is something that's going on in their world that could dramatically increase the probability of needing your solution. Now, you really should give thought to what trigger events would be in the world of your dream client. I mean, for me, I do sales training. Hiring is a big trigger event. When there's a new executive vice president of sales or chief revenue officer, that's a big trigger event for me. there's a lot more too. I mean, yeah, and seriously, and I got to be careful how I approach this when it happens. Company has shitty earnings. That is a big trigger event. So I want you to think about what your trigger events are, but that's step number one. Step number two, when you call, you're going to get right into the pattern interrupt. Now, I highly recommend that you break the mold here. And I know that your urge is to ask them how they're doing and everything else, but just for shits and giggles, try it this way, where it's like, hey, Teresa, it's Paul Castain. Quick question, right? Now, that quick question is the next step. Quick question. It's a pattern interrupt. It's off script. It's not something they're used to being faced with. Now, don't forget, the person asking the questions in the dialogue is controlling the dialogue. And remember, when I say control, a lot of times sometimes people get uneasy when I hear the word, hey, you know, or somebody says, hey, we can control this, we can control that. Yeah, right away I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is kind of going down the evil route. We're not looking to use this for evil. We want to control it so that we can talk about the things that really, if you think about it, that matter most to the recipient. We're kind of going there immediately. We're referencing something that's going on in their world. Now, the reason why this leads to less objections and more demos booked is because it's highly relevant. We're not spewing. You notice I didn't tell you right here, lead with all the great shit about your company. Talk about how great you are. Talk about your background. Talk about the value proposition. Nope, we're not doing any of that nonsense. What we're doing instead is we're going immediately into something that's relevant to them. And when we talk about things that are relevant to the recipient, guess what happens? Higher probability of them hearing us out. Lower probability of them objecting. Higher probability of them wanting to spend more time to see how we might be able to help them. I think that's pretty important. And that's it, folks. I mean, seriously, it is that simple. I'm not looking to complicate this, but I am looking to have you take action here. I want you to spend some time thinking about on your own and then go to your sales team. Make this a part of your next sales team meeting where you guys brainstorm. Say, hey, what are the trigger events that we should be looking for? Write them all out. Then what you're going to do, once again, is you're going to look for those trigger events. When you're doing the research, when you call, you're going to identify yourself. Don't say the company name. You don't have to. I mean, you could say the company name if you want, but this is exactly how I've been doing it. I've been saying, you know, it's Paul Castain. Quick question, like in the same breath I say it. This all happens within like the first 3 freaking seconds. Quick question. Doing that, I'm doing the pattern interrupt. Then I use the next phrase. I noticed that, and then I mention the trigger event that I noticed. And that's it. Now, one other thing I just want to say that this accomplishes, and I want to go back to what I told you at the beginning of the podcast. When I told you I noticed somebody was saying that when they call up, they just basically say, they acknowledge that it's a cold call. And what they did do also, which I think, it's important for you guys to know, is they were asking for permission to proceed, and they said, you know, yeah, it's a cold call. And these aren't their words, but this is me paraphrasing. You know, this absolutely is a cold call. I want to come clean on this. But I did do my research. All right, that's awesome, and that's great. And like I said, keep that in your arsenal. But this approach here checks all the boxes. It's showing them that you did the research, because how in the hell could you make a statement like, I noticed that, you know, you're reopening your Chicago office, if you didn't at least spend a few minutes looking into it, right? I mean, seriously. Unless your information is wrong, then it's going to look like you never did research. So it's a way of showing someone you've done the research without making a statement like that. I got to tell you something. We make a lot of statements in sales, and this may offend you. I promise you, this is how the world thinks of us, because I've experienced it for decades. All of us have. And as a consumer, I know I think this way. I believe people want to trust us, but they don't until we prove them otherwise, right? So we're beginning from a place of, I don't know you. I've never heard of you. Might have heard of your company, but I don't know you. You're somebody trying to sell me something. Of course, you're going to tell me what I want to hear. So here we are making all these bold statements, but we don't prove it. So me telling you, yeah, I've done my research. You know, F that. Like, I'd rather just come right out of the gate and prove to them that I've done my research by using a phrase like, I noticed that. And think about where that falls in the conversation. After we say quick question, and then I say, I noticed that, and then I hit them on that trigger event. I mean, we're less than 10 seconds into this call. So immediately, we're showing them that we have earned the right to speak with them a little bit, right? We're not just calling cold down some list of 1,000 names, you know, with the Glengarry leads that we got from effing Alec Baldwin, who's a real dick in that movie, by the way. But anyway, We're earning the right to have that audience with them. So what I want you to do is do those assignments. Try this approach for the next few weeks. Don't try it with one session of cold calling. It didn't work. It's like anything else. It takes a little while to develop a habit and really to develop your natural voice with something when something very new and foreign has been introduced to your day-to-day, to your habits. Give it a shot, and we'll see where it goes. Now, before we end, I just want to let you know, if you found value in this, I wanted to let you know that we have a really cool downloadable resource, and it's called our Virtual Sales Camp Program. And what's really good about this program is that, first of all, you can get everything instantly. And when I say everything, there are 4 sessions. 2 of the sessions are all about getting in front of more opportunities. And I talk about everything from cold calls to LinkedIn, a lot of time on emails, because let's face it, we're sending a lot of emails. We also have a session on expediting your deals. So let's just say all the cool stuff you learned from me in the first 2 sessions about getting in front of opportunities pays off for you. Now you're in front of some opportunities. How do we expedite those deals? How do we stand apart from everyone else? And we even get into, I think, is one of the most critical areas here, and it's how to communicate in between meetings without any of that calling to check in stuff, where you can really create an effective communication plan for your prospects. And then we also talk about developing existing accounts that you have. So in addition to the 4 sessions, which again, go at your own pace, they're all pre-recorded, you can listen to the whole thing at once, pardon me, or what you could do is, you know, listen to half an hour here, half an hour there, no right or wrong here, I won't tell anybody. And then I also have some really cool PDFs and some bonus material, certainly a lot of templates that I've prepared for you. And whenever I say that I have templates for you guys, I always share them in the form of a Word document because I want you to change the hell out of it to make it your own. I've written them for my voice. I don't know you, and I want you to adjust it to your voice. So if you'd like to learn more about the program, and I'm really hoping that you will, because there's a lot of people. I was actually just having a discussion with a group of sales leadership, by the way, that hired me to come in and really talk to them about the next chapter in sales now that the world is really starting to reopen. And, you know, I don't like to be the pessimist. I also don't like to go the other way where we're over the top optimistic to the point that we're not, you know, seeing reality. I really am a realist with optimistic qualities, I guess. I guess I got to say that disclaimer. But one of the things I was saying is that one of the biggest mistakes that sales reps made during the pandemic was that they never adapted. they never adapted their approach. They were doing the same stuff. Yeah, you also have some that ran and hid, and I kind of get that. It was scary times, but whatever. There was other ones who felt that it was distasteful to sell and actually provide things that people need. I mean, again, whatever. But there's also a lot of sales reps. And I say this from a really loving place. This is not me feeling I'm better than you guys. And you guys have heard me say this before, that nobody listening to this podcast could ever outdumb me on dumb mistakes that I made on the earlier part of my career. So believe me, I've made more than my share of mistakes, and I've got the scars to prove it. But, you know, what really irritates me that's happened to a lot of sales reps is that, and I'm not saying every sales rep is like this, but there's a lot of them that became very lazy during the pandemic. Some of them, their companies went, removed the quota because they wanted to be a kinder employer and be more sensitive. There wasn't as much pressure on them. Some of the reps, in some cases, they were like, people really don't want to hear from me right now. And a lot of people started to coast. And a lot of people stopped investing in themselves. A lot of people stopped learning. And again, I get it, right? This whole thing sucker punched us. But I'm here to tell you, I mean, we gotta now pick up the pace. We've got a lot of lost time to make up for. Any opportunity that you get, whether it's free or something like this where you really, you know, you might actually have to invest in yourself, you gotta jump on board. You gotta get those ideas. I mean, just the fact that you're listening to this podcast, it says a lot about you. Now, just the fact that I hope you're going to take action and do the homework that I had in the podcast is really going to say something about you. That means that you're not just listening to this for entertainment value, like we listen to some of those people and the hosts are saying the little cute shit back and forth and they're bantering or whatever it is, and it's entertainment. I'm really not that entertaining, for starters. And secondly, I'm really hoping you do something with this. But this sales camp program I've been talking about for a few weeks, we've had a record year with it. And I'm hoping that you're going to take the time this summer when, statistically speaking, most of your competitors this summer, summertime, are going to slack. They're going to mentally check out. This is an opportunity for you to kick their ass, to outwork them. That doesn't mean it's an opportunity for you to miss out on hanging out with the fam and to have a little time, or if you like me, take a bunch of camping trips, maybe do a little bourbon in the yard and a cigar, whatever. It doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice that. But what I'm really saying is, don't you dare write off the entire summer and lose the opportunity to learn some incredible skills so you can beat the hell out of these guys. So you can get out there and get your sales up. Because what's going to happen come September is that next thing you know, you're going to blink and you're going to be going into that year-end sprint and you're going to be struggling. A lot of people do because they lost time over the summer. But anyway, we've got 4 sessions planned for you. I've got over 75 tips that I'm going to be sharing in the sales camp program, and also lots and lots of templates for you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp, all one word, all lowercase letters, yoursalesplaybook.com/salescamp. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Sign up for our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.